Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Healthy of a Human podcast. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to today's episode because we have a special guest.
Hello, everybody.
It's Lexi Hidalgo. I said that right.
Yeah, Hidalgo. That was perfect.
Okay. Yay. Lexi, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so honored to be here. This is so fun. I get like nervous to come on other podcasts, but also so excited. It's like the weirdest combination of feelings, but I'm happy.
And you guys listening, we are having a little professional moment. We're in a studio.
Like the real deal. Like we got microphones and cameras. There's like and cameras headphones.
We opted out of the headphones though. It was a little much.
No, it feels too scary. You know, we want to keep it as real as possible. And I feel like when I put headphones on, I just enter like a whole different alter ego. I don't know.
I know. I'm like, I don't want to be professional Callie right now. We're not in the corporate world. We're having a deep convo, but I'm really excited you're here today. So I know everyone's gonna be so, so excited, but I think you're one of the people people keep asking to have on the podcast.
No way.
Yeah, so it's
I'm honored.
I know. So I know people are gonna be so excited. So for anyone listening today, we're gonna be chatting about just so many things around the topic of living out your purpose. And I'm so excited just because I feel like Lexi, like you really embody that. You are so authentically yourself. I mean, just looking at your social media, like you're so inspiring, you're so true to yourself. You're just always sharing things you're learning and growing in and are so real. So I'm really, really excited to dive right in.
You're already making me blush. Thank you so much. I try. I think it's really important. I think that being authentic is really what takes you the most places in life, you know, and guides you in the right direction. And I think that it essentially is the key. So I try. I try really hard. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yay.
I can't wait to chat. And I'm so excited to just know more about you too along the way.
Yeah. So let's just dive right into things. Lexi, tell everyone listening just a little bit about you. What's your story beyond? I want to hear about how you got into social media, but beyond social media, who are you, Lexi?
Oh my gosh. This is like the world's heaviest question. And I was driving here and I go, I know she's going to ask. And I'm trying to think about how do you even answer that question? But I think to go way back to the beginning, I started on social media about 5 years ago, but pre-social media, I was just a normal middle school girl, you know, and I was dealing with a lot of heavy stuff that I couldn't really wrap my head around in middle school. You know, when you're 13, especially then, I didn't know too much about depression. I didn't know the word anxiety. I didn't know any of these big terms or these big feelings, but I remember waking up and going to school and being like sick to my stomach. I never knew why. Like I genuinely thought I was dying of some kind of internal illness because I just felt so sick all the time. And I was dealing with this girl who was just like not so nice, you know, middle school mean girls, high school mean girls, they honestly never go away. You just kind of learn how to handle different situations. But I was having a really hard time and I felt like I was at a really low place in my life. Like I was just being told by somebody that I was, you know, worthless and I didn't deserve to go to school or this or that. And when you're not in a good headspace and you have somebody telling you those kind of things, it's really easy to believe them. So I just believed that about myself. I didn't want to wake up in the morning. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to make friends, go places. And that's a really crappy way to feel when you're 13. So I remember trying everything except therapy at the time. Like I got acupuncture, really TMI, but I was 13 years old and I got a colonoscopy. All of this because I thought I had something really serious internal going on. Yeah. Looking back in hindsight, it was always just something that I was struggling with mentally that was just showing itself physically in me. And I said I did acupuncture, and I ended up trying a yoga class, which is like really random, but my mom was super into yoga at the time, and I went with her to yoga, and I fell in love with it. The teacher in the class was basically just reminding you that life is so much more than what people think of you or how people perceive you, and it was like this really deep, intelligent conversation that the yoga teacher was having, but I remember leaving there and just being like, oh, wait, this girl's mean to me, but that doesn't dictate my whole life, you know? I can see good things in the world, even if somebody doesn't see good things in me, you know? And I just had this whole, not awakening, but I just left that class seeing the world differently, and I fell in love with yoga. And I started going with my mom, and I'm making a story that could be short, very long. This is something that I do a little bit too often, but I ended up falling in love with yoga. I ended up deciding that I wanted to be a yoga teacher because teaching yoga, I just wanted to help people feel better about what they were going through, because I know that it was something that really helped me at the time. And I got certified when I was 13 years old.
Wow.
So my mission at 13 was essentially to help people and help people feel less alone in their struggles. And I tell that whole story because I feel like that's really what led me to social media. And I feel like that's the way that God guided me to social media, because he wanted me to keep the same purpose and keep the same passion, but in a totally different way. So how I actually got into social media was just sharing my life during quarantine. I was posting these fun little outdoor workout videos. I was making coffees. I was just living it up. And in Florida during quarantine, it was still beautiful. We had great weather, like the sun was shining. So I think it just gained a lot of traction. And I just started growing and growing and growing. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And this is really fun. And I was like, how do I spread a good message in this? So I started just giving advice while I would share my life and while I would make my coffees, and like integrating little pieces of thoughts into my normal content. And it just kind of kept growing. And I feel like 5 years into it, I'm still just figuring it out and doing it and sharing whatever I can share, whatever aspect of my life, and just putting in little dollops of joy, dollops of inspiration, being real about the struggles that I'm having and what I'm feeling, and just sharing it in some way, shape, or form. And I guess that's a little bit about who I am. I'm like, that was so deep for no reason, but
no, I love it.
But that's really, I think that how I started social media, and also since I've been doing it so long now, that's so much of the story of what's made me who I am. Like, I owe so much of who I am as a person to social media and that experience when I was younger. So it's really, really cool, but that's me.
Wow, I love that so much. I definitely can relate to that though, the whole like middle school, high school bullying. I remember even pre-middle school, like I used to get, I think this is like kindergarten, first grade. I remember like my mom would have to pick me up every day from school early because I would have like so many I would like cry like every day. First grade, I'd have so many stomach issues because
why did we have to go through that when we were such little kids?
I know, like so much anxiety just around school and around like people and bullying and all of that. So definitely can relate to that for sure. And I'm so curious to know, like in the social media world, obviously there's a lot of haters, also a lot of amazing people too. But like, how have you learned to deal with people, maybe like backlash or mean people on social media? And like, how do you not let that affect how you see yourself and all those things?
I think I answer this question differently depending on the day, to be completely honest with you. I think there's certain days, and I don't know, maybe it's tied to my cycle, where some days I feel like I'm just a lot more confident in the sense that I'm sure of who I am, so what other people say to me doesn't really have much hold on me. There's other days where that confidence is a lot lower or that security is a lot lower. And, you know, I could read one simple hate comment that makes me want to go delete 1,000 videos. You know, somebody says something about as silly as, I don't know, your outfit or your makeup or your face or such surface level things. But when you're not in the right headspace to handle those things, you just, it sends you down such a spiral. And what starts with something so surface level eventually has you rethinking everything about who you are as a person. I'm really grateful that I'm not in one of those phases right now. So the answer that I want to feel confident about all the time is that you have to just recognize that most of the time when somebody has something negative to say, it's them going through their own struggles. And I think that there's so many different ways you could look at it, but looking at it this way has helped me have a different kind of peace about people leaving hate. It is just recognizing that these people are going through something of their own, or they're at a point in their life where maybe they're not as happy or they're not as secure or they're not as fulfilled in whoever it is that they want to be or what they want to be, that in order for them to build themselves up, they tear somebody down. And I think people do that a lot subconsciously. Like, I like to think a lot about the person that I was in middle school when I was not in a good place. I probably wasn't the nicest version of myself. Like, I probably would look at people who were happy and had a lot of friends and were successful, and I would probably tear them down internally. I was never leaving nasty comments, but the world is so different now.
Yeah.
And I think people just feel more entitled to do so. But the way that I would look at happy people was with this like envy and this anger. Mm. So instead of like seeing them and being like, wow, so good for you, that's amazing, like look at this person spreading joy, I would be like, wow, must be nice, you know? So whenever I see people leaving hate on any of my stuff, whatever it may look like, no matter how small or how big, I just kind of remember how I felt in those moments, that like those were my lowest moments when I would look at people with that negative lens. And then all you can do is just pray for people. And I think that just looking at it that way helps me a lot, because hurt people hurt people. It's a really cliche saying, but it's so, so true, though.
So true.
And I think that if you have enough of a strong foundation of who you are, nothing can get to you. Like, that's how I want to feel all the time. Granted, sometimes I don't, but I guess that would be my answer.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so true.
Thank you.
I feel like also I've noticed, it's really interesting, but I feel like sometimes the comments that really sting are the ones that, like, they say something that I'm deeply believing about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mm-hmm. like them validating that, and that's when those hurt the most. And it's so funny because, I don't know, ever since like getting into my faith, I have kind of realized like a lot of times it's like user 1259 whatever.
No profile picture.
No profile name. Picture. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, that's just straight up the enemy trying to get to me.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. Because
no,
like,
I like thinking about it like that.
It's like a mean girl. He's just trying to be mean and like tear us down. And so I've kind of just like, that's something that's been helping me a lot with it. But it's so interesting. It's just like when you feel like that pin in your stomach and you're like, that's mm-hmm. usually a sign that maybe you're like believing that about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that also growing my faith has helped me a lot when it comes to handling just dark people on the internet, because when you get to know God, you have a different level of peace over your whole entire life. I mean, in every single aspect of it, where you're going, what you're doing, who you're surrounding yourself with, what people are saying about you or to you, like it all, you just view it from the lens that, okay, this is all part of the journey. This is all supposed to be happening to me. And it's not in my control, it's in his control. So I think that just having that peace and having that feeling in your heart helps you just push away what doesn't serve you or what isn't part of your next step or your full purpose or, you know, living out who you're going to be. So I think that helps.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely helps.
That's so good. Okay, let's dive into your faith journey. So first of all, when did you get into your faith? And just like tell us the story behind all of it.
So I have always grown up Christian. I remember being younger and I would go to Sunday school all the time. Like, I remember that's when I learned about the basic stories about Jesus, like, you know, what he did for us. But I was a child, so nothing really sunk in then. But I, when I read my Bible now, I like can visualize learning those stories in like a kid-like way from when I would go to Sunday school, which I think is pretty cool. But eventually, going to church every Sunday turned into going to church just on Christmas, on Easter. It was super cool. The Easter ceremony that I used to go to growing up, we would release butterflies. And it was like the most...
What?
Yeah, it's probably so illegal and it's so bad for the butterflies. So I'm glad we don't do it anymore. Yeah. But it was beautiful when we did it. They give you these butterflies. And I know that sounds crazy. It doesn't exist anymore. In these little bags. These like little basically parchment paper bags. And at the end of the service, they hand them out, and then you take it out, and you put it on your finger, and their wings warm up. So he's, like, praying while all their wings warm up, and then eventually, you know, he finishes his prayer, and it's so cool that every time, sure, they aligned it this way intentionally, but every time he finishes the closeout prayer, one butterfly would start flying, and then there's hundreds of butterflies, because everybody gets
what?
One. And it, oh my gosh, I wish I had pictures. It was the coolest thing in the world. I wish it could still happen, but I care too much about animals to, like,
yeah,
put butterflies through that anymore, but it has nothing to do with the story. So I ended up going to church just on holidays and stuff. And then I think that naturally through middle school, through high school, I just didn't really have a strong foundation to stand on. I would kind of pray when something was going wrong, when I needed something, when I was like asking for help about something, but it was never like a true connection to God. And then I think there was a point maybe later in high school where I almost felt really pushed away from religion, because I think that a lot of people use religion as this way to just be an unkind person, which is so strange. But there was just so many things that were happening and so many people going through these different like kinds of church trauma that just like really pushed me away from God and pushed me away from the church. And I remember I was living in Hawaii and I had a friend, his name's Mitchell, and he's super strong in his faith. And he has this really cool ability to, I think the word is prophesize. Like he's just really cool like that. And I remember I was going through a lot of stuff with my mom at the time. Like we were just butting heads all the time. And I hadn't vocalized this thing that we were struggling with to anybody. I think I had like briefly prayed about it and be like, hey God, can you help me again? Sorry, I promise I'll pray more often. But like that's how I used to be.
Yeah.
And
so relatable.
Then like I was at the beach with Mitchell, one of the first times I met him, and he's like, hey, can I tell you something? And I said, yeah, sure. And he was like, God's really putting it on my heart to just tell you that everything's going to be okay, like with your mom and with your family. And it was so cool. And at the time, I looked at it as something that was so cool, but it didn't take me any step further. But, you know, looking back, it did. It was a seed that was planted.
Yeah, totally.
And I think when that happened, I would start going in my notes and I would write my prayers in my notes, and I was praying a lot more. So cool. And it wasn't prayers for help. It was prayers for gratitude and appreciation. It just was, it's really cool to watch myself just thank God for the good things in my life instead of ask for better things from him, you know? And that's kind of how things were for a while. And then I started dating my now fiance, Gabe, and he was on this really cool walk with his faith. And something that's so inspiring about him is that when he does something, he does it all the way. And we started going to church together and he started reading his Bible. And like for me, for example, when I started reading my Bible, I would put it off really easily and be like, oh, well, I'm too tired today, or oh, I'll read tomorrow. And I wasn't necessarily reading it for, I don't know, the right reasons. And I was just reading it because I wanted to take those steps. But he was like locked in. Every morning he would wake up, pray, read his Bible. Does it like clockwork to this day, and will probably do it for the rest of his life. But I remember being so inspired by his faith and how strongly he believed in Jesus and the story of Jesus. And I think that as somebody who has struggled with my mental health at so many different points in my life and just gone through random things where people have let me down or I've had a hard time trusting people, it was so hard for me to break that barrier and have like full faith and fully believe the words that I'm saying and the things that I'm reading. And I think that really only happened for me kind of recently, like to get to a point where I just felt so certain and felt like the presence of God in my life in a completely different way. And I think I don't have some crazy testimony or some crazy story, but it's perfect the way that it is. And I think that it's only still evolving. And one thing that's really cool to me that I think made my faith a lot stronger is I have a friend who went through this really bad breakup with a guy that she thought she was going to marry. And I was there for her at the end of the relationship. And she was like really struggling. It was like so hard. I mean, you can only imagine when you think you're going to marry somebody and it all goes away. And she leaned so deeply into God at this time in her life. And I watched her do like an entire 180 on just how she looks at this relationship and what it was. And she's a completely new person from it and views it from a completely different lens. And it was all because she like leaned into God to do it. So I always say that it's really cool to watch God work in other people's lives, because you can see it so clearly.
Yeah,
it's so hard in your own life to see where God is working and how he's working. But it is so easy to see it in other people, like watching Gabe's faith grow and watching the man that he's become and the way that he's changed from the inside out, watching my friend go through this breakup and completely change, and just hearing people's stories. Like, I think that's what has made my faith so strong. And that's kind of how I got into it, I guess. And it's still new. You know, I think our faith is always evolving and it's always getting stronger, and we learn more every single day. And, you know, we still will face moments of doubt, but if we lean into continuing to pursue it and grow it, those doubts just get smaller and smaller every day, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. I love that so much.
Thank you.
I love how you like used prophecy, like your friend Mitchell, like prophesying over you. I love how you said that it's like a seed being planted. Cause I think it's so true. It's like, even in my own faith testimony, I mean, I was like, I grew up Christian also, but I mean, I totally fell out of my faith. I was living in Miami and I was doing the whole thing.
Living the whole
Miami lifestyle. And it was so cool because I had two friends who were both Christians. I had no idea. I was like really involved in like all the New Age stuff. And I don't know why. I was just like open-minded. And they both invited me to church on the same weekend at the same place. The same church. Have you heard of VU?
No.
Oh, it's super cool. If you're ever in Miami, VOUS, it's a really cool church.
Okay, cool.
It's very like young, fun. So it was like the perfect place for me to go because I was like, I'd always associated church as like really religious, judgy, just stuck up kind
of old people. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I was like, wait a second, like this is so cool. And I remember the pastor, I was also struggling so bad with anxiety, like crippling anxiety, depression. And I remember the whole sermon, I was like, God just speaking so directly to me. I was like, there is absolutely no way this could be planned. Like, this is so wild. And I just remember after that, it was like, okay, like I didn't totally change every single aspect of my life then and there, but it was like, okay, God, like I see you. And it was like a little seed, you know, just started to grow and grow. And then as I started like reading my little morning devotional, I was like, wait a second, that verse is literally everything I'm walking through right now. Like, what the heck? Like, this is crazy. So cool.
All the things start aligning a little bit too much to be coincidences. And you're like, oh, snap. God, is that you? Like,
and then when someone says something and you're like, how did you know I was going through that?
Like, what? No, it was crazy when Mitchell did that. I feel like I owe so much of just my testimony to him saying that, because it was the craziest, coolest thing. And, you know, we both have a friend, Meredith, and Mitchell did the same thing to Meredith. Meredith was going through something completely different than me. And I didn't know that Mitchell had this moment with Meredith about what she was struggling with until after I had the conversation with Mitchell, and Meredith and I were talking, and we were both like, whoa, that's crazy. Because I think that her faith was a little stronger at the time than mine was. And it was just so cool. Like, it was just such a cool moment where you're like, wow, God has always had a plan. And I think it's extra cool because one of the guys in my Bible study always says this. He, you know, it says like in the Bible that we're predestined to get to this point. And, you know, God is just laying out the path for us and is bringing us when we're ready to him. So I think it's so cool to know that no matter what happened, we were always going to get to this point. We're always going to know him. It's cool.
Yeah. I even thought about the verse, like, he works all things out for good. So it's like, even things that maybe in the moment you're like, oh, I did that thing, how could God love me? Whatever. Like, he still works it all out for good. And like, he knows we're going to mess up. Like, he knows we're going to have moments where we fall away from him and then get closer to him. But like, that's the super cool thing about God, is he's not like expecting us to perform and always measure up. And he like loves us unconditionally, which is so, so cool.
I think it's hard. And I think it was hard for me too. And for a lot of people, you know, a lot of people say, well, Jesus doesn't want to know me right now. I'm involved in this, 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 and that, or I'm like doing this. But Gabe was just talking about this the other day. He was just saying that he's always ready for you. Obviously, he's going to meet you where you're at, and he's going to slowly change you, but he can't change you until you accept him and know him. And if you kind of just keep putting it off, you'll keep pushing further away from him, you know? But if, as soon as you open that door, you don't even have control over the change that happens in you. Like, you're all of a sudden, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. But, oh, I also just don't really want to anymore. And you just have a completely different view of the world, which is a wild thing to comprehend. But truly, the way that I see the world now versus the way that I saw the world a year ago, a year and a half ago, is crazy.
How has that shifted for you?
Well, I think it's just in so many different ways. Like, I can, like I was saying before, I can brush things off a lot easier. I can brush off a lot of negativity. I can view people saying certain things as like, knowing that, okay, this isn't something that I need to worry about. This isn't like part of God's plan for me. But also things as simple as, I don't really drink as often anymore. And there was a shift in my mind before. It was like this, I don't know, religious shift. I don't like that term. But before this, it was this lens shift.
Yeah.
I noticed how alcohol made me feel. It made me feel horrible. It doesn't make me feel good, like, physically. And I always kind of viewed it as just that. But now I kind of look at it, I'm like, oh, maybe God was just telling me, like, you don't need to go out every single weekend and party and go crazy. But I just, since I wasn't at the point where I could comprehend that that was coming from God, I just viewed it as like, it was like this physical thing. But so many little things like that. I think that you can still drink. I just think that God didn't really want me participating in that so much anymore. And now, like, if I do drink, it's very rarely. And it's like a drink versus high school, college. I was down in shots, you know? No. It wasn't like, I never was involved in anything super wild, but it's just been cool to see the little moments and transitions in me like that. I mean, gossiping, cursing, like just little things that I'm not intentionally changing about myself, or like ways that I mindset things and just judgment and jealousy. Like, I used to feel those things so much more and experience them so much more. And I just feel like slowly but surely, the more I get in the word and the more I get to know Jesus, the less I naturally participate in those things. So it's a very slow process. I still have moments. I still curse. Nobody's going to be perfect right away. But it is cool to just see the baby steps happen inside of you. And yeah, I guess I think that's how I would answer that question. I don't know if I answered it, but.
That was good.
Cool.
Okay, so talking a little bit about sharing your faith on social media. I noticed that you share your faith on social media. So when you first started doing that, was it scary, or like how is like,
oh my gosh,
that shift? And
horrifying.
Like
so horrifying. Because like I was saying before, I always had God in my life. I always knew Jesus. I was always a Christian. So there would be moments that I would talk about God or mention God or say something about my faith. And people are so quick to criticize. Like, people are so quick to leave their opinion on anything. That's, I think, the point we've gotten to in the world of social media. People just feel entitled to say whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And they just do it ruthlessly, disregarding the person's feelings that they're talking about. And I think that when I would talk about my faith, not that people would be super negative about the fact that I was sharing my faith. Like, people would just always have something to say in general. And it got hard for me to decipher my personal relationship with God versus like having the input of people entering just like putting a dent in the road, a speed bump, like making you want to push back or pull closer or whatever it may be. I didn't like the idea of anybody getting in the way of me building that relationship on my own. And I think I finally got to a point where maybe I feel strong enough in my foundation of my faith that it's not as shakable as it used to be. Like, maybe in the beginning it was a lot more new. So when people would comment on it, I would still believe them in the sense that it would let it affect me. Whereas now I'm so confident in my faith and in faith as a whole and just in Jesus that nothing that anybody says will push me away. But it doesn't really make it any easier to get online and talk about it because people will criticize. You know, people who don't even know Jesus will come through the woodworks and be like, well, you cursed 5 days ago on your video. You said the S word. And I'm like, okay, it's human. It's also not the end of the world. But as silly as that a comment like that sounds, it just makes you kind of feel nervous to keep sharing your faith because you don't want to be judged or whatever it may be. But then I also just try to remind myself that it's any judgment from anybody else isn't what matters. You know, God knows my heart. He knows who I am. He knows how I'm changing and what I'm morphing into and the person that I'm becoming. So somebody calling out the fact that I said the S word 5 days ago should never shake my faith and should never affect like me wanting to share it. And I still try to keep it soft because I never want to push anybody away. I never want to be part of the reason that somebody doesn't want to get to know God. And I think that, I don't know, there's like a not a tasteful way to do it. But the way I see it is when I first was getting stronger in my faith, people who would shove Jesus in my face when I didn't really know him yet, I would be kind of scared and I would be pushed away versus wanting to pull closer. So I don't know. I just, knowing that I experienced that, I think that it's important for me to just find a way to make everybody know that you are welcome, you are loved, no matter who you are, where you come from, you are already loved and you are already welcome, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah.
I think that being given all the glory to God and talking about him as much as you can is so beautiful and so important. I just think that doing it in a way that doesn't push people away is also important, because the goal is to bring people closer to him, not further from him. But I'm still navigating that. I'm still figuring it out, and I'm still not at any point where I can sit and preach, because I got my logs in my own eye to pull out before I can tell people how to do anything, or I never would. But yeah,
I feel like that makes it more relatable, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think, like, at least for me, what really drew me to my church now that I go to is it felt like people were so real there. People were mm-hmm. just like, yeah, like, I came from this background, I did this and blah, 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 and I still struggle with this sometimes. And it's like, end of the day, just being humans, like, we're still all humans, or all
healthy
figuring
but human.
Out. Yeah, healthy but human. Like, we're all figuring it out. And I feel like there is, like, no matter if it's in your faith journey, your wellness journey, your school, whatever the case is, I feel like there's such this, like, striving for perfection mm-hmm. in everything. And it's like wanting people to think you're perfect at things, but ultimately, like, we're all figuring it out, and we're yeah. all navigating it. We all things we struggle with, and things that we're, like, maybe not super proud about. And it's just like, ultimately, I love how you're saying, like, you just want people to feel like they're welcomed and loved in it, because, like, that is how Jesus is, and that's how he walked on the earth. Like, he literally met with the people who were deemed to be, like, the worst people in the town. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I love you, you know?
I love you guys, for real.
I think that's so good. I love that so much. It's so good. And I feel like, I mean, the Lord's going to work through that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be calling every person to be, like, out there on the reels preaching about, like,
yeah.
you know, all the things. And maybe one day that's his calling for you. But I love that so much.
And it's like you said, it's everything in life. You know, if you're constantly chasing, like, being something perfect, one, you're never going to get there. But two, you're never just going to feel, I don't know. Like, I just think that we've set such a standard that if you're not doing it 100%, or if you're not 100% perfect, then you're not good at all. And like you said, with everything, way beyond faith, like, but that's no way to be. And I think that the more people be real about the realness that happens and not being perfect, the less people will feel the need to be perfect. It's yeah. like just the power and vulnerability. Being honest about anything is what changes the game for everybody to just feel better. So it's so important.
Today's episode is brought to you by Graza, the olive oil that's been taking my healthy eating game to a whole new level. If you've been around for a while, you know I love food, whether I'm meal prepping, whipping up something quick, or just treating myself to something extra yummy. Lately, what's been making my meals pop with flavor is Graza. Graza is my go-to olive oil, top-notch, extra virgin, super fresh, and made from a single type of olive, the Picuel olive from high-end Spain. Spain produces over half the world's olive oil, and trust me, Graza is the best of the best. What makes it even better? Graza's oils come in fun squeeze bottles. They're ridiculously easy to use and make drizzling, sizzling, and everything in between completely effortless. They've got two types of olive oil. We got the sizzle, their everyday cooking oil, which is clean, rich, and can handle the heat. It's perfect for sauteing, baking, and roasting with a smoke point of 410 degrees Fahrenheit. And then there's the drizzle, a vibrant, punchy finishing oil that's perfect for dipping baguettes, tossing into salads, or even drizzling over vanilla ice cream for that chef level moment. We recently used it for dipping our bread in, and it was just so good. Okay, we need to talk about why I'm obsessed. First of all, the squeeze bottle, total game changer. It makes controlling the oil pour so much easier, which I didn't even know I needed in my life. And the flavor, it's honestly unmatched. I've been using Sizzle for all my cooking. It's clean, rich, and doesn't burn the way lower quality oils do. And here's the best part. Graza makes it easy to cook without sacrificing nutrients, because you're using the right oil for the right job. If you're ready to level up your meals, you can get 10% off your first order of Graza olive oil with my code CALI. I highly recommend starting with their Graza starter kit. You'll get the Sizzle and Drizzle squeeze bottles, two refill cans, which are perfectly portioned so you can keep your oils fresh without wasting a thing. So head to graza.co and use code CALI to get 10% off your Graza starter kit and get to cooking your next chef quality meal.
Have you ever felt like your hormones are just off? Maybe you've noticed little things like sleepless nights, low energy, or those mild mood swings that just seem to creep up out of literally nowhere. I honestly didn't even realize I was struggling with hormonal changes for the longest time. As women, we aren't taught in school that it's actually not normal to feel tired all the time, dealing with occasional bloating and snapping at the smallest things. It wasn't until I started my hormone deep dive that I realized there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors lurking in our daily lives.
They're in the food we eat, the water we drink, even the skincare products we use. Add that to the natural hormone changes we're already going through, and it's no wonder so many of us are feeling off. But here's the good news, you don't have to feel this way anymore. That's where Hormone Harmony comes in, a nature-inspired herbal formula that's helping women of all ages feel like themselves again. Hormone Harmony is packed with adaptogens, which are plant-based ingredients that help your body adapt to stress. That means Hormone Harmony works with your body to manage chaotic hormonal changes. Whether it's mild PMS symptoms like irritability and cravings, those uncomfortable hot flashes, or just feeling tired all the time, this product has got you covered. One of the biggest things people notice when their hormones are balanced is how much more energized they feel. What's even better is that Hormone Harmony comes from Happy Mammoth, a company dedicated to making products that actually work. They use only science-backed herbal ingredients, and you can tell their priority is quality. If this sounds like something you need in your life, now is the time to try. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CALLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CALLY for 15% off today.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
That's so good. And it just made me think about, like, okay, on TikTok, when TikTok was getting banned and everyone just spilled all of the tea.
Oh my
gosh. I saw that you did, like, the coffee talks, right?
Yeah.
Wait,
no, I got like so torn apart for something that I thought was going to be so silly. And you know, I can understand like why it upset people, because in the context that it was, I didn't think twice about it. I just like made a silly video. I'd be like, well, the sound was like, I got to tell the truth. I never liked The Godfather. And you put, you know, some crazy secret to spill. And to be completely honest, I just wanted to participate in the trend. And I didn't think that what I was saying was that deep at all. But people love to just construe, I don't even know if that's the right word, love to take things and just tear people down. It's what the world aims to do, you know? So I post this video and I was like, I never drink my coffees. And I think that a lot of people saw that and were like, so you wasted them? So you dumped them in the dirt? And I'm like, honestly, no. I always made a coffee for my mom, for my brothers. When I first started making them, I liked drinking them, but I just kind of grew through drinking extremely sweet coffees and realized I don't really like them like this, but I like having all the ingredients to make the coffee. Because anybody who doesn't know, when I started on social media, I would make a crazy iced coffee, fill it to the brim, you know, put syrup, other syrup, sugar, cream, milk, frothed milk, cold brew, espresso. Like, I would make these wild coffees, and the point of the videos were never the coffee. I would make the coffee while I would give some kind of positive message or just some realness, whatever it was at the time. I was 19, so I don't know what I was talking about, but I was trying to spread a good message. But the coffee was kind of the hook. Like, it's what kept people watching it. But yeah, I would give the coffee usually to somebody in my family. And when I was living in Hawaii, I would give the coffee to one of my friends. Like, and I would usually drink a different coffee. I just didn't like it so sweet. And yeah, so I posted that and I said, I never drank my coffee. And people kind of just took it and ran with it and just like spiraled it into this whole thing that it never was. And yeah, it was a weird day on the internet for sure, because that was my last day on TikTok, was me not getting canceled, because I hate that word, but just having my character torn apart for something that, you know, wasn't really what people made it seem like. And yeah, but then TikTok got banned and it came back 12 hours later, and I just kind of explained myself to people, because I do think that's important, and I want people to know that what I created my platform off of was always being authentic. So it really broke my heart to see people think that I wasn't. And, you know, people took that and then made it seem like everything I've ever done was fake. And it's so far from true, because all I've ever wanted to be is as real as possible. So it was sad, but I also apologized. I'm like, hey, if anybody felt hurt by that, I'm sorry. I never want to hurt anybody. I want to be honest. And yeah, then it kind of faded away. But it was a crazy thing. It was something so small that just kind of blew up. And I think that just happens sometimes in social media, and you just learn and you grow. And if you know who you are at your core, you can kind of come back from anything. And you just keep learning and growing and becoming a better person.
Yeah.
But that was weird. That was a time for sure. I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And then the app was gone and I was like, ah, what? My TikTok, like I was only sad for TikTok to go because it was 5 years of essentially memories, like 5 years of documenting my whole entire life. I wasn't so worried about it from the career aspect because I'm like, if this is God's plan, it's God's plan. I'll pour into something else. You know, I'll pour into a different platform. But I was just so sad. And then it came back. And meanwhile, I was on a trip the whole time it was happening. So it was
goodness.
It was a wacky time for sure. But
hey, wow.
You live and you learn and you grow. And that's what happens.
Yeah. Lesson learned. Don't cancel someone over coffee.
No. And I mean, I get it. I just think that what happened was somebody saw the video and then people started making videos about a video. So then people start completely changing, twisting words and stories. And you're like, it's a weird feeling because you know who you are in your heart. And especially when you've worked really hard to become the person that you are from the inside out. And then you have somebody who's never met you, knows nothing about you, hasn't even watched you from the time that this was about. Like, get online and just start essentially lying about your character. It's weird. But it just, the way I kind of looked at it, and I don't know, maybe this is crazy. I was like, this is the enemy trying to come for something, like come for me. Mm. Because I am at a point where I do feel so strongly in my faith and I do kind of speak about it. And I don't know, it was weird. I just kind of viewed it from that perspective and just gave the people who had something negative to say about me, like give them grace, pray for them. But that's not who I am. It's not who I'm going to continue to be. So yeah, that's that.
Well, yeah, that's so good. I think, I mean, I just had so many thoughts there, but I feel like that one, that's like what happens like with gossip. I mean, gossip, literally, that is gossip. It's just like twisting stories and like sharing things and then it all gets all messed up and then whatever. But then two, I mean, I even thought about like parasocial relationships and how people on the internet sometimes like have this picture of people that they're following. And then when that person quote unquote like lets them down, it's like they feel, they take it so personally, but it's just, it's a really weird thing. I don't know.
I think it's really important for people and even for me, for everybody to recognize that everything that's put on the internet, watch everything that you see, listen to everything that you hear with a grain of salt, with a foundation of who you are and without being super impressionable. Because not that everything you see is fake. No, there's a lot of realness on the internet now. It's a beautiful thing. A lot of it's fake. A lot of it's real, but it's all curated. You know, even when I'm having a really dark day and I get online and I talk about the darkness that I'm feeling in my mind or whatever it is that I'm going through, I still had to be feeling good enough to make that video. You know what I mean? Whereas maybe 3 hours before I made that video, I was literally stuck in my bed, rotting away. And I think it's just important for everybody to recognize that even if it's authentic and even if it's real, it still has to be curated. It doesn't mean it's a lie, but it means just consume things without letting them take control over you. You know, there's an expression that's like, consume the media, but don't let the media consume you. Something along those lines. Yeah. And I think it's really important because I find myself doing that sometimes. I'll be watching somebody post the highlights of their life or doing all these things, or they're on this trip and they're filming all the stuff, whatever it is, and just be like, dang, I'm not doing that. Like, I want to experience that the way they're experiencing it. But then I have to remember that I'm only watching a sliver of what they're experiencing. And no matter how much they tell me in detail what's going on, I'm not there. It's not my experience. So I don't know what's actually happening. And I think that when we consume too much, that line is less clear. And we start like really thinking that everything we're watching is all of everybody else's life instead of a piece of their life. You know what
I
mean?
That's so true. That's so true. Okay, I just thought about this video I watched. It is so cool. I feel like I'll have to show it to you after this. But it's this guy, this like random guy in like Scotland. He just picked up his phone and started filming this video. And it's all about how like God literally like spoke the world into existence. Like God is a creator. Everything he created. And a lot of the issues that people face today is overconsumption. Mm-hmm. Because we're made in God's image. We're not made to be these consumers. the amount of stuff we're consuming every single day, like it gives you a quick like dopamine hit, but it doesn't actually fulfill you. And he's just like talking about how when you make stuff, like you feel different than when you just like quickly consume a video. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my goodness, like it's been waking me up lately, because I was like totally in like the whole like rotting, scrolling every single mm-hmm. night. And then I was like, this makes me feel so terrible. Like I just don't.
It's such an icky feeling.
It's so icky. It's exhausting. It's draining. Like it's weird because you feel good in a second, but then you don't feel good. But anyways, I've been like trying to implement that into my life lately, like creating more. And even when I maybe don't want to create, like when I'm just like, I want to quickly just scroll, it makes a huge difference. It's mm-hmm. so wild.
You create more and do more. And you know, it's weird for probably both of us to say as creators, but all I ever want to do is encourage people to put your phone down sometimes. I think there's a healthy balance. I think that it's wonderful to consume and learn from people, get inspired by people. I love to do it, but you have to learn how to find that line for yourself. Yeah, like, where totally. Is it too much? Where is it taking control of you instead of you being in control of it? And I think that also when you're doing more, when you're creating more, you consume differently. You know,
yeah.
when you feel fulfilled in what you're putting out or what you're doing or the person that you're being, you're less affected by what other people are doing. I've learned that so personally in my own life, that when I am not filled, when I am not pursuing things and doing things and creating things and getting out there, that's when social media is the darkest for me to be consuming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, changing a little bit. I want to talk about
switching it up.
Okay, so I know that you're really passionate about dogs, rescue dogs. And I saw that you just had your annual, what's it called? Pause for a moment. Okay.
Close. You got it.
That's all that matters. I want to know, how did you go about starting this? It's an annual event, right? Mm-hmm. Like every year. Okay. So also I want to know like how you got your rescue dog and just like how this passion grew for you.
I will tell you all about the dogs, because it actually isn't too much of a switch, because truthfully, the reason I got into volunteering, the reason that this passion for rescue dogs grew, is because I found myself at a point where, not necessarily that I was consuming too much, but I just felt like I wasn't doing enough physically. Like I wasn't, my goal is always to impact the world in a positive way through what I share on the internet. But you can only feel so fulfilled by that, because everything's on a tiny little screen. It's a little rectangle. You know, you can be validated by what people say and the way that you've been able to impact them. And I think that is the coolest thing in the whole entire world. And it's amazing. But I was just feeling like I was lacking something physical, like a way of helping the world with my own two hands. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was also just not in the best headspace. And I felt like I was wasting my free time just not doing nothing but scrolling or sitting or just not pushing the world in the right direction or myself in the right direction or living out this person that God wants me to be. So I was essentially bored. And I had a friend who volunteered at our local animal shelter, and she said, hey, you should do this. You would love it. You're literally obsessed with dogs. And I said, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that was an option. So I went and I signed up to volunteer. I did like this 4-hour orientation course, and I started going to my local animal shelter and just walking the dogs. And that's all it was in the beginning. You know, when I would go, I never made a video about the dogs. It was just for me to go do something, you know? And I also loved it because dogs don't talk. And sometimes it's nice to just be able to go be with your thoughts. And I love volunteering with people as well. But there was something about the fact that I would just take these dogs out. I wouldn't have to have a conversation with them, but I could still feel good about what I was doing. It's really random and not essential to the story, but you know, that's what I loved about animals.
Yes.
And I would go, and I just fell more in love with these dogs every single time that I would go. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start making videos about these dogs, because I could help get them adopted. You know, God gave me such a beautiful platform to reach people all around the country, all around the world, but more importantly, people local that might not know that these dogs are at this shelter that only live an hour away. And I was like, also, who doesn't want to see some dogs? So I started making videos while I would go to the dogs. And then the dogs also kind of changed the way that I saw the world. And it sounds like so cringy and it's so cheesy, but I would go walk these dogs in a bad mood, or like I would be complaining about who knows what. And I would see these dogs that literally spend their whole entire day in a tiny little cage, who are just happy to go outside. And I would go home and find something else to complain about, because that's what humans do. And after doing that enough times, like I would just kind of completely shift how I would go to the dogs. Like I would leave there and be like, wow, these dogs are so happy to just be outside and I'm complaining for what? And I just had a different kind of gratitude for the fact that I have an able body that can leave my bedroom anytime that I want, that can go outside anytime I want, that can freaking pee in the toilet whenever I want. Like it's so silly, but
yeah.
I love to take little things and make them into bigger things in my mind. I've always been that kind of person. So that was a huge reason that I fell in love with it. And then I fell in love with making the videos because I thought it was a really cool way to talk about mental health, because I would usually go to the dog shelter when I was feeling my worst and I would leave there feeling my best. And I think the world puts out a lot of this messaging that, you know, you can't fill somebody else's cup until your own cup is full, which I believe is true in a lot of different settings. But when it came to volunteering, these dogs doing this filled my cup more than anything else at the time. So it was a cool way to encourage people to go outside and do something, go talk to somebody, go compliment somebody, because when you can bring happiness to someone or something else, you're gonna essentially bring more happiness to yourself. Like that's just how it works. You spread kindness, you feel kindness. It's the same way that sometimes giving a gift is better than getting one, because you just feel better.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into volunteering with the dogs, making videos about the dogs. And then that was kind of all of 2022, I want to say, I started volunteering there. And then I got to a point where I was like, wow, how can I make this something more? How can I make it something bigger? How can I raise money and save more dogs and just essentially spread more awareness about rescue dogs? So I thought to myself, I could probably just host an event. Little did I know how much goes into hosting an event and like how tedious it can be.
It looked like a big event
Well, the first year when we planned it, I reached out to that same friend, Nada, who told me about volunteering. She said, I want to help you. Like, let's do it together, because she's a lot more organized than I am. I have big ideas, but not as much of an ability to execute things fully. I'm a very big starter, but not finisher. It sucks, but it's also a superpower in its own way.
Yeah.
But Nada wanted to help me. And then I told my mom and she was like, well, I'm in. And then there's this nonprofit called Three Heartstrings that I do and have done a lot of different work with. You know, we sell bracelets. I actually just took mine off, but we've sold bracelets to raise money for, there was super bad floods when I was living in Hawaii. So we raised money for that. Couple of different mental health charities we would sell bracelets for. And I was like, we could sell bracelets that have a dog paw on them. And then all the money can go towards that first year, just this one shelter that I volunteer at. And it was like, everybody was so excited. And we planned the event. We didn't have any kind of vendors or anything. It was really just come hang out and we're going to raise money for dogs. And we had like raffle baskets. And the first year I expected maybe 100 people to come, which was still a crazy number to me. I was like, wow, this is going to be cool.
Because
I also don't ever really host events. I don't really do anything. So it was a cool opportunity, I think, for people to meet somebody that they have this online relationship with in person. Because obviously I was going to be there. It was a free event. I wanted to just like get as many people there as possible. That first year we had like 600 people.
And with 600?
No, we didn't plan for parking. We didn't plan for, we just had, I think we had one food truck and the food truck literally ran out of food. It was still a huge success.
Wow.
We raised, I want to say, $20,000 that first year that we did it.
That's
and
amazing.
Just because even if people couldn't come support in person, since we were selling the bracelets, those ship worldwide. So everybody could support these animals. And then we sold t-shirts and stickers. And it was so cool. Everybody could be involved. But the event kind of was born then. That first year, I think, was 2023, because then we did it last year and this year. And every year, it's just grown to be more beautiful and more successful. And I don't think we've really changed how much money we raise. But it's about the money, but it's also not. It's also a really cool way to just bring the community together. And it's especially cool because I really learned that my audience is so much like me. Like there's a reason that we all follow the same people, and it just brings so many like-minded people together into a space, and it helps people just get to know each other that are local people. So I'm like, I always hope that people leave there with a new friend or like at least a cool, inspiring conversation that they can take home. So it's become about so much more than dogs. I also just love rescue dogs. Like that's really, I think that speaking up for animals that can't speak up for themselves is so cool. And there's such a overbreeding problem and like so many different puppy mills and so many irresponsible breeders. And it's a really sad and horrible amount of dogs that are euthanized every year just because like people keep breeding dogs and then dumping them and just because people don't know that you can rescue too. Like, I never want to blame somebody for buying a dog if you don't know that you could rescue a dog. But once you know, and once you've experienced being in a shelter with these dogs, you just have such a different love for them and like a desire to just get them all adopted. But that's really, that's, I guess that's how Paws started. That's where it's at. And that's why I love rescue dogs.
That's amazing. And I also love like looking at your videos, seeing you post these videos of the dogs in the shelters and then seeing like people commenting and being like, I want to adopt her. I just put an application in.
It's no, like, it's happened so many times. It's like, you never really know who's going to see it. And some videos, no dog gets adopted from it. But even getting one dog adopted from one out of 10 videos is still progress. It's still, you know, making a difference for an animal. Like at Paws this year, we had a dog that got adopted who was at the shelter for 2+ years. She was a senior dog named Benita, and she has a lot of like, she wasn't even that old, but she has a lot of skin issues. So she looks like a 14-year-old dog, but she's really only 7. Aww. And she was actually at the shelter when she was a puppy. And she got adopted out of the shelter. And then I want to say her, I don't know if her owner passed away or if her owner surrendered her. Completely different scenarios. But for whatever reason, she was back in the shelter. And then she had been there for 2 years. And she got adopted. And it was just the cool, like all the volunteers cried, all the staff cried, because you, the dogs that are there longer, you grow such an attachment to, because you just, you feel so much more for them. So it was a really cool, 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 beautiful moment. But that wouldn't have happened had the event not happened, you know? So yeah, it's cool to see how God works and what he has planned and just watching it all happen.
Okay, I have a question that just popped into my mind, but how have you, like what, okay, God like made dogs, obviously. So like what have you learned about God through these dogs?
I think just so much. I think that, you know, these dogs being the ones to teach me about gratitude and teach me about appreciation. Like, yes, it was the dogs, but it was more deeply than that. It was God just finding a way to get through to me. You know, when I was at a point where I wasn't really receptive to God's voice talking to me or God inside of me, I was more receptive to outward things, like things on the outside. And I don't know, I think that it might sound silly, but it was God talking to me through the dogs and just giving me this different outlook and this different perspective on life. And yeah.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
Okay. God just has such an interesting way of teaching us things. And yeah, I think that the way that he talks to every single person is so different. And I think it's the way that you choose to listen and what you choose to listen to. And it's just all so individual, you know?
It's so beautiful. I think that I was literally going to say, like, I think it's cool with, I mean, a lot of people ask me, like, how do you hear the Lord's voice? And I mean, it's so different by the person, because, like, he knows what, Lexi, what sticks out to you. He knows what sticks out to me. Like, it's so cool. Like, he does speak to us in really little ways sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be intentional and present and, like, open to hearing the Lord's voice, I think, is something that's so important, too.
And I think the more time that you give him, the more time that he gives you, in the sense that you can hear him more clearly the more you get to know him. And like, wow, that's been a really cool journey for me, because I remember having this weird envy of Gabe, because he could, I felt like, just experience the Lord more than I could. And it's just so cool to watch that mindset change and watch it go from like having this envy to being able to experience it myself, because I decided to let go of wanting to let the Lord talk to me, to just actually letting him. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just had a shift in my mindset where I was like, he's going to talk to me when he's ready to talk to me. There's nothing I can force. But if I just keep getting to know him and I keep obeying him, the more that he'll trust me with his presence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a cool thing to experience.
That's so cool. That I had the same thing with my husband too. I was like, he's like, hearing the Lord's voice and having like, all these cool things happen. And I'm like, me, I want it too. Yeah, but I think it is also, I mean, the Lord knows our heart, and those are desires that, I mean,
God's going to fulfill those desires, yeah. like wanting to get to know him on a deeper level. Like the Lord loves that. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be like, yes. And I think that's what's so beautiful. Like anyone listening, maybe who've been having that kind of experience, you just like want to hear God's voice, but you haven't been hearing God's voice. One of my favorite things to just ask the Lord and pray is like, Lord, I desire to get to know you deeper. Like, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And just asking him, mm-hmm. asking him to make
it clear.
He provides.
He answers prayers. It's only a matter of time. And I think that you just keep praying that and you keep like really having your heart open to it. A story that I love, and this was like a really big breakthrough moment for me when I was on some flight and I was reading my Bible, and I don't remember which book I was reading, but I was kind of talking about the story of Jesus and how he could go and do miracles anywhere to people that had faith. And he went back to his hometown. He couldn't perform any miracles. And the reason he couldn't perform any miracles is because nobody had faith. Nobody believed in him. Nobody had that full faith for him. And it just made me like get a little into my own thoughts and realize that by me doubting what he can do in my life is blocking him from doing what he wants to do in my life. And yeah. I think for me that was huge, because I always felt like I had this full faith, and I did, but I also had doubt. Like I let those two things coexist in my mind. You can't do that. You can't have one or the other. You have to have full faith if God is gonna really work in you and change you, and if you're going to feel that presence. And I just think that was a really big moment for me, because for so long I had faith and doubt all at the same time. And I wondered why I wasn't having these kind of like life-changing moments from God. I don't know, but it was all part of the plan. They were all things that he was doing intentionally. But I just love that story, because it goes to show that it's true. Like he can't perform miracles on you if you don't give him all the faith and all the glory, you know?
That's so good. I mean, especially with healing. I mean, modern day healing, it still happens. Like literally you can lay hands on someone right now and it's so crazy. Be healed. It was crazy. I teach Pilates, and my best friend, who she also teaches Pilates with me, she had her toe broke. Like, okay. She literally broke her toe. And she was like, she teaches dance cardio.
That's so fun. I want to do that.
I'm going to just come. But I was like, Mikaylee, I was like, can I pray for you? And she was like, yeah. I literally like laid hands on her. I just invited the Holy Spirit in. She started feeling like warmth in her toe.
No way.
God literally healed her toe.
That's crazy.
Like healed a broken bone. And she was like, what? I was like, it's so cool. Like, God,
I love
so
hearing
cool.
stories like that. It's really, really amazing, because I feel like I've heard a lot of testimonies, but I haven't had any experiences like that. So it's just so cool to know that, you know, one day I will get to see those things and they're happening. You know, I was listening to a song on the way here, Joy in the Morning, and it says like, if it's not good, then he's not done yet. And I don't know where I was going with that. Apparently I just wanted to bring up that song. I had somewhere I was going with bringing that song up, and it just left my brain. But anyways, maybe listen that's your sign song. To listen to that song. Yeah. It's amazing. But it goes to show that he's if things aren't right yet, or you feel like they're not right yet, it's because he's not done and he's still working. And it's so, so cool.
That's so good. Okay, to wrap things up, you have a journal.
I do have a journal.
The Moments Journal. Tell us a little bit about that and where everyone can get it.
I feel like we could talk for probably 40 gazillion more hours. I just don't know how to shut up once I start going. But I started writing the Moments Journal back in 2021 when I was living in Hawaii, and I was actually like kind of first having these experiences with Mitchell, and just these seeds were being planted in me. And I also just always had it on my heart to design and produce and what's the word I'm looking for? Publish. That's the one. A guided journal. And I loved to journal. Like for me, writing my feelings is really healing, because I think that oftentimes I can't really grasp what's going on in my head until I put it out on paper. And writing things on paper would pull so many things out of my subconscious that would just help me really understand and evaluate my emotions and just understand what I was going through, and also get to know myself deeper. And I just had such a love for writing and journaling, and I still do. I think it's so important. But I know that when I would talk about how I would journal, a lot of people would say, well, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to write about. So I decided to write this and publish this journal that had prompts. So it has like a place for people to start, you know, and you can just open it to any page, and it's what you need to talk about. It's what you need to write about. Or you can do, you know, go in order, however you want to do it. But the goal of it is just for people to be able to understand what they're feeling better, move through things, be able to let things go, to take steps forward, and to not get stuck where you're at and stuck in your head. And I think that it's really easy to get stuck in your head when you leave your thoughts in your head, and it's a lot easier to move forward once you've put them out on paper and you can push it away. You know, I like to be take things that are mental and make them physical and then move on. But yeah, it's called the Moments Journal. And alongside the prompts, there's also affirmations, just like reminders that go along with the prompt. And I think that it's a really great journal for anybody who's just starting off journaling, somebody who's never written on paper before, or somebody who could basically create a book out of all the journal prompts and entries that they've done. So it's great for anybody. And it was a really beautiful process to create. And I love it. And I'm so proud of it. And I think that anybody will love it. I hope. That's what I like to believe. But you could find it at Target, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, pretty much anywhere. Well, not anywhere. Those three places. But so it's legit. Called the Moments Journal. It's crazy. It was so wild for me when that happened, because I just couldn't even wrap my head around the fact that it was real, because the publishing process takes about 2 years. What? So I first wrote the proposal for this in, I want to say late 2021, or maybe it was middle of 2022. I'm not sure. But it didn't get published until April of 2024. So it was really weird when it launched, because my brain couldn't comprehend that it actually happened. But yeah, it's fun. So you should definitely check it out.
Wow. Okay, everyone, go check out her Moments Journal. And then Lexi, where can everyone find you?
You guys can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, all the different spots. But it's just Lex Hidalgo. It's just my name.
And then you have a podcast too.
Oh, and I do have a every time I forget to say the podcast. Meanwhile, that's my literal baby. I have a podcast called The Moments Podcast. We talk a lot about these same things, and we'll do like a little swap one of these days. But yeah, you can find that on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, you should definitely tune in. We'll do a crossover soon.
Yes. Her podcast is amazing. Thank you. I love your podcast.
Thank you.
I feel like if you guys like this podcast, you like that podcast. It's so real, so raw. You feel like you're FaceTiming a friend.
Oh, because we are. Trust me. I'm like, when we sit there and record that, we're in it. We're really in there. But yeah, I'm so honored. Thank you so much for having me on here. That was such a great combo. We should do this more.
Yes. Thanks for listening, you guys. Definitely go tag us on Instagram and let Lexi know what questions you have and what stuck out to you in this episode. All right, everyone, have the best day and stay healthy, be human. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan, service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.